Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
We're going to take your calls right throughout the hour of Punter's Postmortem, 13:53:53. Our esteemed panel has gathered. Ronnie Duffacy, Dean Lester and Glenn Munsey. What a week it was as far as the weekend of racing. Capped off by Frankie Dettori overnight winning his sixth. He was riding in his 30th arc. He won his sixth arc, the horse enabled going back. To back, we had Winx's Miracle down there at Flemington with Huey Bowman and Chris Waller. We got Fuel grabbing the last of the Kosciuszko spots for the $1.3 million race on the weekend. The Everest Consolation, there's plenty of consternation about who'll be in the final field. Invincible Star, English Ball of Muscle, Clearly Innocent, Sprite. So it's a good field in the Consolation. The wet track is expected for Everest Day. It has been very, very heavy rain around the coast. It continues to fall, and there's up to 5 mil predicted for every day leading up to Everest, and a record number of entries running in the Caulfield Guineas Day as well, where you've got some terrific races, including the Guineas, the Herbert Power, the Toorak, the Scalacci, and we've got Tamworth today as well. Good morning, Ronnie Duffacy.
Yeah, good morning, TK, and what a week we've got coming up after the one we've just had. And I must say, the two main tracks on Saturday, Randwick and Flemington, played to their best. There's no doubt about it. I think we all went to Randwick thinking it's going to be a slop and a slog, and it turned out excellent. And Flemington was just pretty to watch.
The rail out six for the meeting on the weekend, will that go back into the true? And if so, will that be a fast lane?
Yeah, look, there's plenty of room there with the 6 metres, and obviously we're going to be working with a soft track again. Yep. So, look, we always treat meetings as they unfold. So I think Randwick's in the modern day, in the recent times, is pretty good.
Yeah, and we saw a good race, and we saw a spectacular victory by Winx. Some say her best victory. I'm not so sure about that, but probably heart-in-the-mouth stuff for everyone regarding Winx. Good morning to you, Dean Lester.
Good morning, TK.
What did you think?
I thought it was a magnificent day to watch, and it was magnificent to be at Flemington. I know that the atmosphere was something else, really, for a non-cup week day. Winx just turned it on again.
Bad luck can always get you beaten racing. She had a little bit of bad luck, Dino, but then, of course, half a gap, and she's got the class to take it.
That's what she's got. She just
spades, by the way.
Wow, she can just keep running faster. She's and the clock backs it up. She broke 11 seconds in the last three sections, so she was just amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Glenn Munsey from tab.com.au. G'day, Glenn.
Morning, TK. Morning, Ronnie. Morning, Dino. How'd you like to be the guy that had 170,000 on Winx? How do you think he felt when they top of the straight and then 160,000 at the $1.14, $1.16, and then your $1.10? I tell you what, it was the biggest firm that she has had for a very, very long while. She was $1.20 to $1.10, which you do not see horses at short odds. She has blown most of her runs, I'd say the last five or six. Right. But Saturday, they just said, don't worry about that. $1.20 to $1.10. How would you like to have put the tomato sauce on? Not only on the turn, but at about the 350-metre mark. Do you think you'd be reaching for something?
Well, I'm tipping now. I think about it, I'd like to be that bloke, because I don't think it's his last 170,000 he's probably got.
I think he started with about 80 when he started to back her.
Yeah.
And he's now got it 170 plus whatever he's earned out of this Saturday, so he's close to 200.
And what is it, Glenn, if you've had $10 on it from when she started her winning streak, it'd be up over the $500,000 mark now.
Yeah, close to a TK.
Or 480,000 or something like that.
Well, let's have a blue about 20,000.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Half a million. It's like your wage discussions, TK. Anyway. You know, why worry about another 20? It's around the drinks to you.
It's the miracle of compound interest. It's quite amazing. Have you overreacted, mate, with Avilius survives a protest to win the Bark Cummings? So you win the Bark Cummings. Now, qualify for the Melbourne Cup. Congratulations to James and also the Godolphin stable. But now Avilius is the, what, sole favourite for the Melbourne Cup?
Well, you made a very, very important point there, TK, at the end of that opening statement. It is now qualified and assured of a run in the Melbourne Cup. That is why it is as short as it is, for the simple reason being there's a couple of them. One, it is guaranteed to start in the Melbourne Cup. Two, the once-a-year punters are going to see a trainer's name of Cummings and Melbourne Cup. How short do you think it is going to be on the totes across Australia?
Yeah, the totes, it'll react. What do you think of? Well, firstly, Dino, can I get your thoughts on Avilius, the win, the protest? And it was an emotional time for James Cummings. It was really good theatre. Again, racing provides theatre like no other sport.
Yeah, it was. It was tremendous. It was a good win. 58.5, high-pressure race. First go up the 2500 for the preparation. Nothing wrong with the performance, and now he's set himself up to you know, really zero in on Melbourne Cup Day. They've got the qualifications out of the way.
What did you think about the protest?
I thought there was worthy of having a go, because I know they both rolled around, but the last roll in was, you know, it was all about Avilius. But
definitely.
And Michael Walker, for about four strides, couldn't use his whip. But ultimately, you know, I would have certainly posed the question anyway.
Look, don't worry. I think they made the right decision.
Yep.
I asked you this before, Ronnie. In Sydney, would that have had a bigger chance of getting upheld than in Melbourne?
No, I don't think so, TK. It's exactly like Dean. It was worth a go, but it was the throw at the stumps.
Yeah. Glenn?
It's like anything. But TK, if you don't have a go, you'll never know.
No, it was worth a go. You know, he definitely had to stop riding.
Yeah. Well, Dino, I'll ask you, how do you think it compared with the protest that was dismissed on Friday night at Moonee Valley? As compared to what the chance was, did you think the one on Friday night, looking at it, when you had a look at some of the head-on and the back-on, do you think it had a slightly better chance than Saturday?
Yes. I thought Friday night had a real chance because I thought he'd established a run, but the chief steward on the night, Brett Wright, said that he hadn't established a run. So that was the problem with Friday night's one. Different scenario on Saturday, but as soon as they went across the line, I wanted to see the head on. I knew they'd got quite tight.
Yeah.
When I saw the head on, when we were live on air, I mentioned I thought they'd probably at least look at the film, and they didn't, and had a protest.
You got a cup market there, Glenn, for us, Melbourne Cup market?
Yeah, TK, the cup market as it stands at the moment, Avilius is the $9 favourite for the Melbourne Cup over Cross Counter and Magic Circle at $13 each of two. Ace High, Hamada, Homesman, Latrobe, Tozen Basil, Withhold and Young Star, we haven't even mentioned her yet at the moment.
What a run.
All $17 and then a stack of them at $26. But, yeah, he does seem a dominant favourite of Villiers, but, you know, he's got a couple of massive things in his favour. He's already there.
Have you seen Young Star up close before, Dino, or were you impressed?
I was impressed. She's on target for the Caulfield Cup, obviously, so is Kings Will Dream. I think it'll be significant form reference for the Caulfield Cup. The figures would suggest that, and both horses are well in at the weight.
We mentioned about the theatre unfolded down there at Flemington over the weekend. We had pretty good theatre ourselves, stuff at Randwick, with the Spring Champion Stakes, and it was a Spring Champion Stakes that's going to be famous for firsts.
A first for everyone there. Look at obviously Mark Newnham and Rachel King have ticked off that group one. It won't be their last. This is a really nice filly that's in her first racing preparation and offers, you know, it comes off a setback as well. So it's a feather in her cap. And Mark's got a couple of beautiful fillies in his stable, Nikita Jane as well. So he's got something to play with there in the autumn. You've got Arameo, who's run well there. He had his chance. When he got out, you would have thought he had a little bit more in the tank than made of heaven. But she out-toughed him the last 100 metres there. I want to be forgiving for thinking big.
Yeah.
He did a bit of work there. He
did a lot of work, really, didn't he?
Yeah, he was sort of slapping him up before the turn. You would have thought he was gone then. But I liked his desire, holding on into third there. And I want to have another look at him on a little bit firmer surface there. And of the others, I thought talking about overreactions, we were talking about our overreaction in the market with Avilius earlier, but I think it was a really overreaction with Dealmaker, $13 to 26 or 31 in the Derby. I thought that was a pass mark from him. He'd been in the paddock for a week since his last run, and he was on a testing track there, so don't be surprised if he jumps out of the ground and puts his hand back up at his next start and all of a sudden he's back into $13. So
yeah.
I think I'm not giving up on him.
Right. He also eased in the market, Duff. Was that because of fitness, the way he looked in the yard, or the fact that maybe there could have been a thought he wouldn't handle the track? And
I know he handles the track. It's very hard on heavy tracks when you've got a month between runs.
Right.
It's as simple as that. And like I say, he's not only a month between runs, he's probably a week in the paddock as well. Because I remember Chris saying I had to put him out in the paddock for, you know, they still might do some water walking or whatever work they can do in a paddock, but it's not being in full work. So I think he can improve off that.
What about Tarka that was fourth behind Thinking Big?
Well, he's just a little tough horse who's been good all the way through. He goes to the paddock now, so we can cross him off the list as far as training on into a Derby prep in Victoria. And Mickey Blue Eyes has run well there. Frankly Awesome's just work in progress. It's all just still new to her, that level.
It was a really good raid by Eagle Farm trainer Steve O'Day. You know, he'd never had a runner in Sydney, Glenn Munsey, and he's never had a runner. He's come up with a double.
Yeah, and well done to Proven Thoroughbreds there, Jamie Walter. He put out a great story yesterday, Jamie, one of the owners of Caesar. Yeah. Hadn't been to Randwick since 1954 on his honeymoon as a 19-year-old, and the only reason he went there was to see the Queen. And he lobs on Saturday. He said, Royal Randwick's changed a bit, but God, the Queen looked beautiful. And I don't know whether he was referring to his wife at that stage or anything like that, but I tell you what, he's on fire in Brisbane at the moment, Steve O'Day as well. So he brought two horses down here. They're actually half-brothers, Doubt Defying and Caesar, and they got the chocolates, and he'll go away a very, very happy man.
Glenn, can you tell us the latest with the Everest market? The barrier draw is going to be tomorrow. Then I'll get your thoughts as well as the other experts and the listeners, 13:53:53, regarding, will the barrier draw actually mean that much with the way the track's maybe going to be rain affected?
Well, I think that the major part of the barrier draw, TK, looking at the speed of the race in Red Zell and Home of the Brave, they're probably the two important go-forward horses as to where they draw. Leuromane, probably another one that can go forward, because there's a fair number of get-back horses here. So, you know, if, you know, Red Zell and Home of the Brave draw inside, there mightn't be anywhere near the amount of speed, because they're just going to be straight on the bunny as they jump. But the market at the moment has Santa Ana Lane, Trapeze Artist and Vega Magic all $7, and Vega Magic worked at Randwick this morning, $7 each of three. Red Zell and Shoals at $8 each of two. Then we've got In Her Time at $9, and I think you'll find In Her Time, Graff and Leuromane have all got a special workout on the course proper at Newcastle in the morning.
Right.
No doubt Jock Ologley will keep us up to date with what happened there. So we got In Her Time at $9. US Navy Flag, he's at Canterbury at $11. Brave Smash, I think he's having his final workout at Warrnambool maybe this morning or tomorrow morning. He's at $13. Graff and Vidora, $13. Home of the Brave at $15. Interesting to note, Leuromane has trimmed up over the weekend from 21 into 18. Now, the track conditions at Randwick at the moment, as of 8:38 this morning, is a heavy 9. 13.4 mils of rain over the last 24 hours at Randwick, taking it to 65.6 mils of rain over the last 7 days. Now, all important forecast. You're the best weather perv I've ever known, TK, so you're more of a weatherman than me.
Well, we're going to get 5 mil every day, basically.
Right, I will put it into perspective. They'd had 50 mils of rain in the 7 days leading up to Saturday's meeting, and of that, 48 mils had been since Friday or Thursday night onwards, and we had an upgraded track during the day from a heavy 9 to a soft 7.
Right.
So the track coped with it absolutely magnificently on Saturday. So even those little 5 mil top-ups aren't going to be as bad as a 20 mil downpour on Friday or something.
And yeah, you go, Go, Duff.
Yeah, just on the Everest. I'm just having another look at it. I think we're going to miss the, you know, the losing Invincible Star as far as tempo is concerned.
Because of speed?
Yeah, because we're all thinking we go the go-to horse is Redzel, but I'm sure the idea with him was just stalk a leader. So the lead's up for grabs, and that's probably why Home of the Brave may get some support here, because he may be the leader and with Redzel handing up to him. But as far as having that real blinding speed in the race, it's just not unfolding that way now.
Yeah, well, I will get thoughts regarding the Everest. I know barrier draws yet to come and track conditions and all that, but Dino, who's the best wet tracker in the Everest?
It's a good, very good...
I know it's a question without very short notice, like yes. 2 seconds, but yeah. You know,
well, Santa Rena Lane's going to be right up there, hasn't he? He's got really good wet form, and Scholes.
I know Scholes. Always hope for a bit of jar out of the track with her. I don't know if that wet, but certainly
there'll be jar out of the track. Dino.
Well, that's an absolute plus for her.
Yeah. Are you leaning that way?
Well, I just think she's had a great preparation.
Yeah.
I think both those Friedman horses have been beautifully prepared. Watching them down here, they're both above themselves, but did enough first up, progressed into that race last week, and should hit the race in the right form if they're good enough.
David Hayes has said that Vega Magic's going as good as he was going this time before a very unlucky second Dino last year.
Yeah, then they put that defeat in the Goodwood down to a shifting track, so that's got to be a little bit of a concern.
Geez, isn't it hard, because you get that difference between a shifting track and the state of how it shifts.
He might get a grip of it and be fine.
Yeah, that's right, compared to a soft or a heavy track where they can maybe get through. So it's plenty of intrigue to come, Duff. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, you can make a case for every runner there, and like you said, the draw, the map and the track conditions are vital, and I can only see that market pushing out even further. You know, to be $9 the field once we percentage up there on the Friday.
When you're at the track, mate, and all the whispers go around, what are you hearing about US Navy flag? Obviously, Coolmore having a dig here at the Everest, $13 million up for grabs. The first time Aidan O'Brien's had a runner in Sydney. What are you hearing about US Navy flag, who, of course, won the July Cup?
Look, I'm hearing nothing. I'm sure we're going to hear a plan.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, it's a good thing. It means there's nothing gone wrong with the preparation, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So I think things are ticking along quite nicely. Mm. And I'm about to get right into his form today. But I don't care how far I get into his form, I'm going to still find it hard to line him up.
Well, here we go. This has just come in on text. Guys, US Navy flag will be leading in the Everest. Take that as written.
Okay, good. Okay, that interests me. So, I'm going to get through his form today and see how he maps up and see if I can find any form lines for him.
Talking about finding some form lines, Dino, what about you at the upcoming meeting with Andrew Bensley's text regarding the international runners? So, the Caulfield Stakes, you've got Ben Battle, Cliffs of Moher and Blair House, the Herbert Power, Prize Money, Yucatan, Prince of Aaron. The Turak, you got Jungle Cat, we know, Scalacci, Fleet Review, Spirit of Valor, Intelligence Cross, and in the 1400 metre, what is it, Comicus.
Okay.
Plenty of international runners.
Plenty to look up this week. I know a few of them, but there's a few to get the head around. But, really looking forward to Cliffs and Moher. He seems to have a bit of a Joannes Vermeer sort of vibe about him.
Oh, okay.
So looking forward to seeing him. I think Mark Zara's riding him this Saturday. And, seeing him in the Caulfield Stakes. Because I don't know if... I was quite keen on Blair House and the Underwood, but I don't know if the stable were quite as bullish about him. So he might improve also.
All right. And the whispers are good. Cliffs of Moher?
The whispers are good. Those, them, they.
They. The great they.
The infamous they. Want to tell you he's going rather well.
All right. Okay. Well, take the tip. We're approaching 9:30, which means it's sporting headline time with Madison Clare. And here she is, larger than life, in a Wonderful old cardi that Grandma would wear.
It's cold. Well, the headlines this morning, Luke Keary will join Mal Meninga's Australian Test squad in place of Melbourne Storm star Cameron Munster, who's withdrawn from the squad due to personal reasons. Michael Checker's job as Wallabies coach looks safe after their stunning 24-point comeback against Argentina yesterday morning. Craig Lowndes achieved a fairytale Bathurst 1000 win yesterday on his last full-time drive at Mount Panorama, partnering with Stephen Richards to achieve a stunning seventh triumph in the great race. And in cricket, Pakistan will resume at 3 for 225 today on day two of the first test against Australia. This is Sky Sports Radio, counting down to Saturday's Tab Everest.
Thank you very much, Madison. We'll take a short break, then start taking your calls on 13 53 53. I'll get through the text messages 0419 767 272. With our panel of experts, Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffersey and Glenn Munsey.
Can Red Zell win successive Everests in 5 days?
Drummond Golf's huge $2 million clearance is on now with loads of great gear reduced, but not for long. So get in store, get kitted up and get back out there and play the game you love. Drummond Golf, Australia's biggest.
Warrawee Needy, Canadian two-year-old colt of the year. Freakishly fast at 2, wickedly faster at 3, world record holder at 4. Visit yirrabee.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Another quick success story about radio. A real small real estate agency wanted to be a real big real estate agency. They heard that radio reaches over 68% of Australians every day, which means that radio reaches more Australians than all other audio platforms combined. So they ran a campaign. The more people heard their ads, the more homes they
sold.
And soon, the real small real estate agency became a real big real estate agency. Thanks to reaching 68% of Australians every day. Radio, alive with reach, alive with results. Visit radioalive.com.au.
This is Punter's Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio.
Good to have you company on Punter's Postmortem, 13 53 53. We've cleared the deck, so we're going to take your calls, your queries, as we build up to what's going to be a fantastic weekend of racing, both here in Sydney. So excited about the $13 million Everest, the build-up to it right throughout the week. The big day on Saturday. I know we need the rain in the country. We don't actually need it on the coast. So if it wants to bugger off later on in the week, that'll be fine by me, but give us your thoughts. 0419 767 272, the all-important barrier draw for the Everest coming up tomorrow. And one question, Glenn Munsey, I want to ask you is regarding the Kosciuszko. Quite surprised that, and we've had a little bit of feedback about this, the Monster, maybe one of the best wet trackers in the country, why it hasn't firmed up at all? I'm not complaining it hasn't firmed, by the way. I'm just wondering why.
Well, nothing's really firmed at all.
No, nothing's happened.
In the last week, I've got markets here back to last Tuesday. The only changes in that period of time, Victorian went 5 to 450. Sharp Hustler went 15 to 13. Suncraze went 15 to 17. Oso Hazy went 26 to 51. Ruthless Agent went 26 to 67. So, you know, there's very, very little movement. I can tell you so far today, there's been, where is it? I just moved this down here so I can actually see it. Well, I know there's $1,207 on the Monstar so far today off a total investment on the race so far today of $1,475, $1,218 now on the Monstar and $305 the place. So, you know, there is money for the Monstar. Looking at the race, the most popular runner is Victorum. The Monstar is now second pick. Care to Think third pick. Sharp Hustler next pick. Then Don't Give a Damn and then Bell Flyer. And after all that, so they're just happy to leave it there at the moment, and we'll see what happens. 1,223 now invested on the Monster.
Duff, I've got a quick one for you, and I agree with Stevie G here. One for Duff. Why Eckstein? Not in the Kosciuszko.
Because she's a mare, and an I'm Invincible mare, who they saw value in getting some black type with her. And they achieved that. That was their target race all the way through, the one that she won on Saturday. Obviously,
She be super competitive, obviously?
Yeah, well,
Surely.
Yeah, she would have been. But, I mean, they got other options.
Yeah, more value on them. Yeah, for the mare.
Would it upset her? You know, she was very good in the Meyer last year, and she could, with that win under her belt now, she could be competitive again. So, I think that was their thinking all along, and they wanted, I think I heard them say, well, if we want to, they want us to run the Kosciuszko and change our plans. We want, I think they was talking, you know, 80-20 or 80-90, even 10. It all comes down to that situation.
Sure. We find that intriguing as well. Warwick, good morning, mate.
Hi, guys. I've got a two-pronged question regarding the Turnbull Stakes.
Sure.
Where the answer to my mind is unheard of, and where I think the VRC has made a stupid juvenile mistake. And the question, when is the last time you have seen Winx in a Group 1 race, or even Group 2, in any jurisdiction, not race in a normal quaddie race? And then the other one is, when was the last time you saw a Group 1 race in any jurisdiction, and, you know, the sole Group 1 race on the card, not positioned in a normal quaddie race?
Was obviously the last leg of the early quaddy. I know what you're
talking
about.
No, he means quaddy. Yeah, I'm with him. Yeah.
She wasn't a leg of the quaddy when she won the rider.
From a TAB point of view, Glenn, she sort of suffocates the market a bit, doesn't she, as far as a quaddy's concerned?
She wasn't last year in the Turnbull. Yep.
Juice the legs of the quaddy by one.
Yeah, well, it becomes a treble, doesn't it?
Yeah, so is there a reason, you know, the main race is so early in the day there? Was there a reason for that?
Oh, for the quaddie. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
That's right.
I don't know if it was an error or not. It was 3 o'clock. Melbourne Cup's run about 3 o'clock. It was...
On Tuesday.
I didn't have a...
Don't open that debate, Dino. What about the poor school kids?
Yes, I know, the school kids.
Well, in Victoria, it's not an issue for you, is it? Because it's a public holiday.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter. But
Imagine if the school kid had the same horse to win both races, and got scratched in the price. He could be in council for months.
You've got to investigate that one.
I'll get through some of these text messages quickly with some responses, guys, if I can. If you're a single owner of a horse in the Everest, what is your cut after paying out the slot owners? John says, Duff, I'll let you answer that because it's... How long's a piece of string?
What is he saying?
If you're the trainer or the owner.
You know what? It's just updated. I thought it was the owner. Hold on, I'll just go back.
It all revolves around what deal they've
done. If you are a single owner of a horse in the Everest, what is your cut after paying out slot owners? John.
There's no answer to that.
It's an agreed, an agreement.
You can do
some may be 50-50, some may be 40.
And depending on where you finish, I think last year Brave Smash was like the agreement was something like half and half, first and second, and then I think the owners got the bulk of the prize money after second.
Right, and the other thing is, if it's some
slot holders will make the deal. You know, if you finish in the first three, I want. You know, my nomination.
And if they're colts, there's breeding rights.
Colts, breeding rights. If it's a mare, you can get your.
Lots of different things.
All that sorts of things. So, it's like, that's what makes it that's what makes it such a great contest as well, all the different scenarios. TK, can you get the boys' thoughts on Rainer from Saturday? Dino, I'll let you go.
I was very impressed with the ride of Rainer because I was on Wild Planet.
I think Huey would like to have it back.
Yeah, look, he explained on Melbourne Radio this morning, he never thought that he'd established a run on the outside where he wouldn't knock Linda Meach down. I think the stewards probably disagreed. Ultimately, the horse should have won, no doubt.
We had Frankie Dettori win his sixth arc this morning as well on a horse called Enable, which went back-to-back. Some people are saying that Frankie was the last jockey to lose on Winx. That's not the case.
No.
It was Jose. It was Joe Marrera.
The Magic Man.
Yeah, it was the Magic Man. So another one who gets pilloried down under. But yeah, Frankie winning again. His sixth arc. I think it's his 30th arc he's ridden in, Dean.
Yeah.
Which is
he's remarkable. I wish I'm sure of it. There's more no of doubt about here, that. But he's certainly remarkable in all sorts of ways.
This comes in just. I'll get to this next one. I just would rather make sure I get it right. Any exposure is good exposure for the Everest with this Opera House controversy. It will get more people through the gate. Doper from Wagga, yeah. Look, any publicity is good publicity. You'll see that barrier draw now up on the sails of the Opera House. Duff, what's the next for Mickey Blue Eyes? Good run.
Yeah, I don't know. He'll probably go back to Melbourne. I don't know whether they want to stretch him out to a Derby trip this prep, but I'll leave that to connections.
I reckon they will.
You reckon they will? Okay.
I think that they're taking a bit of a line through Sikorsky, who ran well down here on Saturday.
Yep.
And they've always had the opinion that Mickey Blue Eyes is a better horse than Sikorsky.
Okay. Yeah, no, well, I thought he got a pass mark on Saturday. And like I said, we're working with a wet track. And I'm always very nervous with the Hayes horses on wet tracks, unless they've had experience on them, because, you know, they work them on them beautiful tracks they got. I don't think they get enough exposure to wet tracks to learn to handle them. That's just a theory I've got. I don't know if it's true or not. But
I love that. Their training facilities are too good.
Yeah, they're too good.
You've got to rough it up a bit.
In the old days, the old trainers, we get a heavy track there at Randwick and we...
Work on the playoff.
Some of them would be terrified. Oh, we can't work this horse this morning. You know, canter him around the sand or just go evens on the sand. Tommy Smith would say, get out and gallop it on the heavy there. And they 90% of his horses would just eat the mud.
Well, I saw those images. I think it was Michael Hooks posted regarding the all-weather track where they'd had 80 mil of rain and there was no water on the track whatsoever.
No, they're the new tracks, aren't they? They're good.
Which is great to see. TK, question for Dino. Which ride was butchered the best, Rainer or Savatiano? Cheers, the punting eagle.
Oh, it's heads up and down.
Photo finish.
Yeah, can't pick it.
There's a big margin difference in the margins.
Hey? Yeah, no, that's true. And it was all momentum there, and Huey on Invincibella was just got the moment, just got the fly at the right time.
Hey TK, favourite time of the weekday, 9 a.m. Monday morning, listening to the show. Well, thanks for that. Can you please ask Dino about Sully and its plans? Back last start at odds and sectionals were impressive against the bias. Third up, where to? Thanks, Rod.
Yeah, I'm not sure. He might run in the Cranbourne Cup on Sunday. They train locally at Cranbourne. He runs good sectionals. He does a lot wrong. He hangs in and he just doesn't win enough. But he's certainly a talent. He's just got to get his act together a bit.
Is that extra brute race Derby form or not?
It's a fascinating race, that race, every year, because it's usually run like it was on Saturday, high pressure, and it's a month out, and whether they can hold that form for another month. I think if the Derby's in 2 weeks, I'd say yes, but they're all going to have another run probably, and whether they get through that. But at the moment, Extra Brute, certainly. I mean, he covered ground on a fast speed and was just strong.
He's likeable, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, and just learning all the time.
Have you got a market there, Glenn, on the Derby?
Is the manifold Oaks form?
Yeah.
Well, Extra Brute's the $7 equal favourite with Aramayo out of the spring champion. Then you've got Sikorsky and Thinking Big. So you've got one of each again there at $9 each of two. The Autumn Sun's there at $9, but he'd be doubtful. Botty, interesting win during the week, Dino, at $13, along with Declaration of Heart and Gem Song. And how do we pronounce this one? Savoir or Savoy?
Savoir, they're saying.
Savoir, yep. All at 13. And then Mickey Blue Eyes and Musselbrook, 17. And Dealmaker sitting there as a $26 chance.
Dino told us about Savoir at $51.
Yes, that was before it won the other day. Yep. Where was that at? Before it won
midweek.
At Flemington.
Right.
Yeah. In the Derby trial.
Yeah. So it's now into what? $13 and $7 equal favourites, Aramayo and Extra Brute. There's still plenty of water to go under the bridge, so to speak, regarding the Victoria Derby. Let's get back to the open line, 13-53-53. Hi, Tony.
G'day, boys. Question, does a frivolous protest still exist in racing? The reason for the question, I thought Michael Wagga, he'd have to be kidding. What's your thoughts?
On Saturday?
Yes, in Mark Cummings.
Geez, Tone, I was on.
Admittedly, Schofield copped a suspension, but he bumped the Waterhouse horse, Foot Northwest Passage. Michael Walker, dip your head in shame. That was a frivolous protest, sour grapes. And next time when the ladies interview after losing on a particular race, don't ignore them and don't be rude. Michael Walker, keep walking. That's my opinion. Ooh. What do you think, boys?
Well, I don't know about the lady thing you're on about, but I do know about the protest. And with the luck I'm having, I had an all-up going on Avilius, and I thought this would be right. I'm cursed. But I thought there was plenty of grounds for a protest, Tony, actually. I thought there was interference. I thought Michael Walker did have to stop riding. I guess the fruit is the taste of the pudding now because he did get suspended, Schofield. What are your thoughts?
Look, I think we've covered that earlier, and I Schofield got suspended for the horse in the middle.
Yeah.
Northwest Passage.
Yeah, so which was getting tired, and he shaved on the way across.
Well, he's gone from what? Five out to one off the fence and causing interference to the horse on the fence.
Yeah, yeah. Was it interference? Was it just a run of the race jostling?
Did you see the margin, Duff? Did you see the margin?
And he couldn't get at the horse.
Yeah.
And the reason that, you know, Michael may have handled himself better after the race, but he wanted to get in and have a look at the film before correct weight.
Okay, so I missed that. So he brushed past.
He didn't really have time to do an interview.
Well, that's his office.
Because that's correct weight. Yeah. You know, they like to want to, you know, because if he wasn't going to lodge a protest, well, they wanted to declare correct weight.
Well, that's fair enough.
I didn't understand what...
Yeah, no, I didn't know that either. No, but, I mean, we are lucky enough to be in their office. We're in their workplace, so...
Yeah, I think most of us realised once we saw the head-on the big screen, you know, that he'd at least pose the question, whether it be through looking at the film or protesting.
Yeah.
And one of the reporters tried to approach him, and he did keep going. But that's fair enough. He was in his mindset of getting this protest.
So. Yeah. All right.
What about your old mate Yogi there?
We've got a few questions regarding Yogi here on text.
He was off the bit early, but he still was good, wasn't he?
He's gone back to that, which he wasn't doing at the start of the prep, but admittedly, with Harrison running along at the speed he was. I mean, he was running along about 12 lengths above standard the first part of the race. He ran really well, Yogi. I wish he'd stayed on Avilius' back. He probably wasn't to know Avilius was going to duck in, but then again, Avilius was always going to kick. And when he came to the outside, he got on the back of Vonjamask and then had to go across his heels. So whilst Avilius was advancing, he was sort of going sideways. I'd have loved him to have stayed in and seen where he got, because when he did come off the heels of Vonjamask, he really did surge late.
All right. Let's go to line two. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, just on the cuts regarding the Everest, can you imagine if Black Caviar was racing today?
That would be a disaster.
The cut would be...
Write your own ticket.
85-15 or something, the cut, wouldn't it? I mean, basically, it'd be odds on.
You'd have to get opposition, too.
Yeah.
Who'd want to put up the money?
It obviously depends on the chance the horse has got, depending on the cut as well, doesn't it?
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you'd say
how much money the owners have got, how much important, how much you need a quid, all those sorts of things.
If a horse is even money for the Everest, you know that your cut's not going to be that great if you've got the. I mean, if you own a slot, you're going to have to give the owner a much bigger cut.
And we've seen the difference too, Chris, in the fact that you know the way we raffled or sweepstake for the Kosciuszko, the cuts are completely different for the Kosciuszko compared to the people who paid $600,000 for their slots a year.
Yeah, exactly. Dean, I've got a question for you, mate.
Yeah.
If Winx wins her fourth Cox plate, how do you line four Cox plates up against three Melbourne Cups up against five William Reeds?
I think you just enjoy them all, don't you?
So you're talking Manicato, Maccabi Diva.
And the circumstances are so different. I mean, Maccabi Diva, three handicaps going from 51 to 58. Winx winning it, if she wins it 4 years in a row, totally, you know, first year up the inside, second year wet track, third year challenge. We don't know what happens the fourth year. And Manicato, like, he won his first two William Reeds on his year, but the last 3 years, like, he was broken down, he'd had problems and just carried himself across the line. So they're all great stories, but they're all so different.
Yeah, they all. It's a good point, Chris. We can argue down at the pub.
Yeah, it's a great pub argument, isn't it? Yeah.
It is one of those really good pub arguments. This has also come in regarding... Winx is definitely a champion mare, but I still think Frankel was a superior horse. His early retirement for stud value is immense. Cheers, Danny. Yeah, Danny, look. Who knows? You know? We've been lucky enough to enjoy both. We never got to see Frankel, unfortunately. Well, I was lucky enough to see Frankel twice up close and personal. He's as good as everyone tells you he is. There's no doubt about that. And Winx, Dino, she's as good as everyone tells you she is too.
Of course she is. She's,
you know, but Frankel was a...
Just enjoy them.
Mate, it took off. I can't remember the first time, the second time, but took off with 1,100 metres to go. It's the longest burst of sustained speed I've ever seen in my entire
Frankel.
Life. Yeah, Frankel.
Yeah,
and just kept 1 by 11.
Yeah.
And just kept going. It was incredible. Absolutely incredible. So, yeah, we can make those comparisons. They are good for the pub discussion, aren't they? Michael, good morning. Hi, Michael.
Good morning. Question for Dean.
Yes.
Regarding an ex-French horse, Venga Musquet, which I've backed in the long-range double for the last couple of years and hadn't got a start. But this season, she's because of her performances after last year's Cup, she's a lot closer to the field this year than she's ever been. And her three runs this time in, first up she came home hard. The second run he took her to the front, and obviously a conditioning run. And the third run on the weekend still had it fairly close, and she sort of hung on a bit. What's Dean's opinion about the horse going forward?
He's going okay. He's ticking over. As you said, this year he doesn't. He's borderline, but he probably will get in. He's 35 at the moment, but when you look at the ones above that won't run, he's probably in the field. He ran pretty well on Saturday. Just peaked on his run, but as I said, they're not under that trying to rush through. And he won a Geelong Cup and a Queen Elizabeth last year. So no, he's, if you like him, stick with him because he's a good Flemington horse and he'll run 2 miles.
All right, good on you. Nice to have that call. Please ask Dino, where is Savatiano going? That's Coogee Mick. He's desperate.
Yeah, I don't know. I would imagine the Tristark in 2 weeks, 1,400, and whether it goes on to the 1,600 of the mile, I'm not sure, but certainly going very well.
One for the Oaks, Kilmore today, 8:10.
It's in... I'm a bit lost there, TK.
All right, that's right. Yeah, I don't know what 8:10 means. I haven't
race 8, number 10, Gidar, for the Oaks.
Any hope?
It's $2.05 today, I think, isn't it, Munns? Last race, if you can get Larry on the job.
Yeah, all right, we'll find out.
But, it's still entered, it won okay first up. I hadn't thought of her as an Oaks filly, but she should win today. See where she fits in after that.
Yeah.
What did you think of that very elegant on Saturday?
She was very good. It was a slowly run race and just a bit of a sprint home, and she didn't get a lot of momentum. She is tiny.
Small, is she okay?
Yeah, she's small, narrow, just not... You wouldn't back her on looks, but she can run. But she's still got to get past her stablemate. She was very good again, Amphitrite, on Saturday. She can just take up a spot and then quicken down. I love the way she ran through the line.
Yeah, there's a few questions regarding her. Hi, Dino. Do you know if Amphitrite is going to the 1,000 guineas? And is it a chance if it does? That's Patty from the Ponds.
I'm not sure if she is, or she'll wait for the ethereal. I think that decision probably won't be made until acceptance is Wednesday. If she did, she'd be a top four chance here.
And Glenn, a little bit of housekeeping here, mate. Regarding our bonus bets you get with the tab up to $50, if you have a bet on fixed odds, this comes in, you know, if you got scratchings and there's no third dividend paid, Gary asked, do you get it for third? I would say not. What do you think?
Terms and conditions, TK, but I can't see any reason why you wouldn't.
Oh, okay.
Especially if you're betting on Friday where there's, you know, we had a situation on Friday, there were 17 runners in the last, we finished with 7.
Okay. Well, that's better news. I mean, that's, yeah.
But I'd have to check, you know, the terms and conditions. It'd be, you know, clause 38, subsection
sure.
C, paragraph Y, addendum XY, XYZ.
Fair to say, Gary, we don't make the rules up. they're all stamped. So, yeah, that would be a bonus if that's the case. If you run third, you might still get your bonus bet up to $50. Wayne, good morning to you.
Good morning, boys. Two things. I think Lowndes was lucky that Winks never turned up at Bathurst yesterday.
Maybe, you're right.
And the other thing, Unite and Conquer in the first, it looks like it was a pretty good win for a two-year-old, and it's a big, strong horse. Looking at it.
Yep, showed, you know, just great training at the two educational trials without the blinkers. The blinkers went on, it found the rail, and it was just too sharp. But, yeah, just a natural two-year-old. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't have found him out of the Sydney trials. It was slow time, and there was a lot of better trialers. But, obviously, like you said, the second jump out, a trip away, blinkers on, they did switch him on.
Yeah, even talking to Stephen Basser, he said the second trial was just okay.
Yeah.
Said, but then the gallop in the blinkers, and it was all set up for him to go.
I can tell you what, you don't see a horse run around as much as Yulong January and still win by such a big margin, Ronnie, either. It was super impressive for Kiamar.
He's a beauty. He's a little beauty.
With you've got to think when he settles down and learns a bit more, he's going to be something really out of the box.
Yeah, I think they only paid $20,000 for him. And
oh, really?
He's a little fellow, but he's got a great latitude.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very modest pedigree.
Is it? Okay, it would have to be. But
yeah, he's by King of Prussia, who was a good horse, but he's been non-commercial at stud, and a little mare that had an involvement in Duty with Honour, and she at Robbie Griffiths's, she won about three or four races. She was smart, but yeah, it's a terrific result.
To think that he took him away on a wet track and had confidence in him. He's picking his mark, Kieran Marr.
Yeah, you'll see him pick it well up there too. He's good at it.
Yeah, I reckon.
No doubt about that. So we had Marr come up from Victoria. We had Steve O'Day come down from Brisbane with a couple of winners. So it's good to see all chasing the big prize money on offer in Sydney. Morning, boys. I'm obviously the only person that thinks H. Bowman's ride on Great Mate, that being Winks, was really poor. He had a barrier draw wide to suit. He's had no less than four chances to cruise wide, elected to stay near the rails, and left it given her high rolling way to late to start rolling, then makes himself a hero by finding a gap. If she had got beaten, Walker would have had his Jats crackers on toast on Sunday morning. Tim. Well, he didn't, I guess, is the answer to that. Short answer, Ronnie?
Yep, she won.
I was surprised that Huey was where he was, because he understands better than most that he's only got to stay out of trouble.
Was he in the right frame of mind after a grilling? I would say, you know, he's professional enough to say, I just brought that up. But he's a professional jockey and he got the money.
We'll fit one more caller in. Hi, Peter.
Oh, good morning, TK and boys. Just a quick question, gents. I only just joined in, so you may have discussed this. I'm a big thinking big fan, and I'm prepared to forgive him after Saturday's run, but I'm particularly interested in Dean and Duff's view. Do you think, on a firmer track, bit fitter in Melbourne, he's still a big derby champ?
I do. I don't want to jump off his back yet. I know he's won on the heavy, but it was only a maiden at Canterbury, but he set up run. Well, he was first up after 7 weeks off when he won the Gloaming at 1800. So you could pull out a few little things there. Was it second up syndrome? Did they put too much pressure on him?
He stuck at his task pretty well.
He stuck it out really well. I can't pen him at all.
Duff, give me a quick reply if you can. Boys, I took US Navy flag, Red Verdon, and Withhold in a multi. I thought it was a good chance at big odds. What do you think, True Blue?
What did he take?
US Navy flag.
Yeah, so it's futures betting, is it? So
yeah, Red Verdon.
Well, I've got no idea about all this.
And Withhold.
Yeah, they're imports, so yeah. I can't comment. I don't know enough about them, TK.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, horse to follow. You know a bit about this.
I'm going to say Dealmaker.
Okay.
And not because, you know, I think he's any certainty in anything, but I just think he's over.
So back in now in the derby. If you
yeah,
want to
just have a little speck just
yeah,
in
just
case.
Something. All right. Dino, horse to follow?
Well, I'll be following a race. The Gilguy Stakes was really high pressure sprint down the straight, which we don't often get. And I think there were some really good runs in it. Callista, I think, will win her next start if she goes back to mare's grade.
All right. Glenn?
Sorry, TK, I'm busily trying to go up these terms and conditions.
You do get it for third. One of our listeners says you do get your bonus bet if the horse comes third, even with two place dividends.
Yeah, one of the, when you've got to put in 17 passwords and put your thumbprint and all that sort of, and then try and search around a website here. So
we always say our listeners are our best resource.
The best researchers, yes, that is correct. That is correct.
Have you got a horse to follow?
I'm not sacking the horse that I followed last week, TK, Red Current. Stick with it when it gets in a suitable race. I don't know whether that'll be, but it'll get in one eventually.
All right. And Dino, I just want to confirm if Ronnie's okay or not with Dealmaker. Currently $26 in the Derby. Do you concur with his thoughts that maybe he's dropped out too much in the market?
I would say so. It's a very fluid market right at the moment. There's horses that will maybe even come off maiden wins in the next couple of weeks.
We've had that before.
Yeah, or they don't even win their maiden.
We have had maidens win the Derby.
Yeah,
quite clearly.
3 in 20 years or so. It was only one run, but he was jumping quite sharply in distance on Saturday too.
I'm glad to say I don't think we've solved anything in the past hour, which is tremendous, but we've probably confused people even a little bit more. Thanks to you, Glenn. No golf today, too wet for you.
Oh, no, TK, we're there. Very nice conditions at Royal Bankstown. And,
you are.
Fully expecting to see your face on the Opera House sales tomorrow night, TK.
No, I don't think so. I don't even think the Opera House could stand up to
that. That would be a controversy.
Yes. Thanks, Dino.
Thanks, TK.
Jeez, that would scare the kids a bit. Thanks, Duff. It's a big week of race, and we look forward to what's going to be a tremendous day. Everest Day, $13 million, the Kosciuszko and everything in between, which is going to be great. Let's just hope for some fine weather for the weekend. And she's our ray of sunshine in the office, isn't she? Madison Clare joins us with the 10 o'clock news.